Order, order. Honourable members need to understand that I was elected as the Speaker of Parliament not to be the impartial arbiter of this House, but in reality to promote the Labour Party, my party, and do all that I can to help my friend Keir Starmer in his attempt to bring about girl communism in this country, to bring about basically a girl communist dictatorship. And you won't notice it's becoming a dictatorship because it's girl communism. There won't be any violence. There won't be any people being taken away at night and shot in the head. But it is girl communism nonetheless. And an example of this is not only am I going to stop you debating the issue of Gaza and having a vote on it so it doesn't look bad for the Labour Party, but I'm going to stop you from debating the issue of whether there was a cover-up about this shooter in Southport, this 17-year-old boy, about whether he was in fact some kind of jihadist. Now, you know, obviously I'm biased, obviously I'm doing everything I can to stop the Prime Minister being held to account because we have entered a creeping girl communist dictatorship. So there you go. Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of The Jolly Heretic. Now, today, I would like to talk about Sir Lindsay Hoyle, who is the Speaker of the House of Commons. Now, he was elected in the wake of an appalling period of time in which a person called John Bercow, who, though a Conservative, was manifestly pro-Labour, had been just ridiculously biased against the Conservative Party and in favour of the Labour Party. And it seems now that he's the same. In fact, I'd go as far as saying that he's absolutely pro-Labour, he's pro-Starmer, and he's doing everything he can to stop this appalling liar being held to account by the House of Commons. And this is what happens, of course, when a country falls into dictatorship. All of the checks and balances that bring about political neutrality, that mean the state is politically neutral and so forth, go out of the window. And this is what has happened. And we're not noticing because it's what we would call girl communism rather than the violent communism which we are used to. So it's sort of gets there under the radar. So this is what I'm going to tell you about. Before I do that, could you please subscribe? Could you subscribe here on YouTube? And could you subscribe on thejollyheretic.com? That's my Substack, where I put all the most based videos I can't put here, where I put in-person interviews, where you can directly correspond with me, where there's transcripts of the stuff that, of all my videos, and where if you like what I do, you can support me for the cost of a pint of beer a month. So over there, but also please subscribe here and just like give it a like and a comment and so forth. Right, why am I wearing a ZANU PF hat? ZANU PF, of course, were the governing party of Robert Mugabe, the eventual dictator of Zimbabwe. This was not girl communism, this was communism. And very quickly, he was extremely violent. And within about certainly 10 years of his getting into power, it was clear that Zimbabwe was no longer a democracy. You had election rigging, you had the imprisonment of political opponents, you had violence against political opponents, all kinds of nasty stuff. You had massacres of political of different tribes that were of a different political party. You had all kinds of unpleasant stuff, so you knew what you were dealing with. The problem we have in the West is we have what I call girl communism, and it's much more insidious because being girl communism, it's not violent. We have this movement towards these five moral foundations that I've talked about that we all have because we are individuals in a pack. The pack-oriented foundations of in-group loyalty, of obedience to authority, sanctity, which is that you keep out that which is bad for the group and you sanctify that which is good for the group. And then you have the individually oriented foundations of harm avoidance and equality. And if you are at the bottom of the group, then you will tend to get power by virtue signalling about harm avoidance and equality. Now, we've moved very, very far in the direction of harm avoidance and equality. And these are moral foundations which are, to the extent that we define ourselves and say who we are, and it causes offence if that is doubted by objective truth. We've moved very much in the direction of those moral foundations. Females are more interested in those moral foundations because they are evolved in prehistory to live in a harem in which they create groups of allo parents with whom they very, very closely bond so that they can co-look after their children when the dominant male goes off with a younger wife. This works in a context of complete trust, a context of complete equality, a context of everyone feeling validated, and of course there can be no violence because women on average are physically weaker than men, so they will only go to violence as a very last resort. So the way you control people is not through violence, it's through excluding them from the gang, excluding them from the parties, whispering about them, damaging their reputation, that sort of thing. Now, what that will tend to mean, of course, is that in a society that was dominated increasingly by females or female ideas, then you wouldn't have violent action against those who oppose you. You wouldn't even necessarily have laws against those who oppose you. Instead, what you would have is a subtle social system which excludes those who are not prepared to fully sign up to the harm avoidance equality kind of values. And this is exactly what we are seeing. And it is why democracy has been allowed to collapse in Britain almost unnoticed. Not almost unnoticed, but much less noticeably than was the case in, let's say, Estonia after the war, where that's it, boom, it's communist, and anyone that opposes us is purged. And it's now got to a point where every organ of the state has to promote equality and harm avoidance. The police, the universities, the civil service, barristers. So essentially every organ of the state is politicised in a left-wing direction, that we have spies that are sent in by the state to right-wing organisations because the state is, the establishment is now woke, or at least semi-woke. And now in Parliament itself, you have a speaker who prevents the members of Parliament from holding the lies of the Prime Minister, who is, of course, the woke, you know, the woke king, in the woke king, the chief of all this, of holding him to account, because, of course, the only way they can sustain their semi-dictatorship is via lying, is via covering up the truth about the problems with, let's say, the founding dogmas of that dictatorship, such as multiculturalism being great, such as environmental determinism, such as all of these things that cannot be questioned. And so therefore there have to be lies. But now that might have worked 20 years ago, but the problem is now we have a trust in the establishment has collapsed due to the coup, and of course due to the internet and the ability to get hold of other sources of information. And what we see here, I know I did a video on it recently, but it's quite amazing what's happened, and it shows you how far down the road of dictatorship Britain has gone. It was revealed on Wednesday that Axel Rudakabana, the 17-year-old of Rwandan descent, born in Wales, who went into a Taylor Swift-themed sort of holiday club in Southport and massacred three little girls, was a Muslim, had a jihadi manual, and had ordered ricin. Now, at the time, this information was being rumoured about online, and the BBC asserted that it was false, that it was a lie, that he was Muslim. They asserted that as fact, that it was a lie. The government asserted that it was untrue, and that he, you know, this was nothing to do with anything to do with Islam. People have literally been sent to prison for spreading that rumour that the person was a Muslim, and yet it turns out now that this was the case. The question is, did Keir Starmer know, and at what stage did he know, that this person was a Muslim? Was he condemning it as lies and jailing people for telling these lies while knowing the person was a Muslim? And the answer is almost certainly yes. A, because MI5 would have had their eye on this person, so they would definitely have known he was a Muslim, and this would have been reported to the Prime Minister. B, because it was rumoured at the time that this was the case. And indeed, Charlie Bentley Astor, who's written for the Daily Telegraph, says that she was told this at the time by people, by the police at the scene, and was then told that there's not enough evidence, you can't report it, not in the current climate. So the newspapers were themselves involved in this suppression of the truth, which tells you the degree to which girl communism is working, that they are able, as it were, to threaten and intimidate even right-wing...
Are you ready for the future of the West?